Nice.
This is what I got for you today.
All right. Well, we're about to start another episode of Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio, and I gave that intro again because we weren't recording, apparently, on the first 15 minutes, which is awesome.
So we go back over to you?
No, we're good. I have major sound issues. As we try to make things bigger and better for everybody,
right,
we come up with more mistakes, and found that out big time this week. And I'm also not sure if we are recording now, so I'm going to check this real fast. Hollis.
Yes?
Give us a story.
A quick story?
Yeah.
Like?
I don't know. Something.
Something?
Something right now, so I can make sure that that we're giving these guys something to talk about or listen to while I'm making sure that we are on live.
Well, I'll give you this story. As I'm panning down the list here of people, they're... A lot of people think you don't have soul.
I don't have soul?
Yeah, there's a couple of ladies said you don't have enough soul. And they said if you get off of Pornhub, you would know what TikTok is.
I'm sorry. I don't feel like getting off of Pornhub.
So let's say, hold on. Because you've been getting a lot of feedback when we said we didn't know what TikTok was. Huh. And then there was, okay, there's Walt. It's like, give us, the Maury recap. You want the Maury recap?
The Maury recap. Let's get a Maury recap.
Well, today there was an illustrious staff today. It was a lot of guys were the father, but the one particular one that they started off with, normally the first one that they start off with is slightly juicy, but so they hold you to watch it to the end, and they give out the test results. And this time they did not disappoint. Neither one of the guys was the father of the baby. She had two guys there. She was already coming out of a divorce. She was actually getting divorced, and she met a guy at McDonald's cutting tomatoes. And they went on a three-month fling, and then which they broke up, and she met this other guy. Guess what his name was? Drake.
Oh, boy.
She met a guy named Drake, and he actually ended up marrying her. And he thought, even though she was 6 months pregnant when they got married, he thought the baby was his. So he was there making an ass out of himself.
Nice.
And the other guy was just swearing up and down that he was not the father. And he actually wasn't. That was the kicker point. Apparently she had been playing these three guys against each other.
Really?
Yes. It was pretty good. It was a fairly awesome show.
We're not broadcasting right now.
We're not?
No. I don't even have check 1, 2.
I guess now.
I do 2, but... Guys, sorry, we're trying to figure some shit out.
Yes, it's Doug. It does sound like a potential sequel to Maury. She probably will be back because she said those proverbial words that each woman who comes on there with two guys and neither one of them other dad, she's like, I haven't slept with anybody else. Apparently you have. I'm going through questions now off of the West Collar.
All right, we're off.
Stay with Pornhub.
This sucks. I've got nothing coming out.
You got nothing coming out? We're at a pause for station identification. So give me some questions you guys want. I've been watching movies all weekend long, and then I delve into I got to quit watching Investigation Discovery because Investigation Discovery has been is warping my fragile little mind.
Hey.
What up to Juice? He said we good. Chris Sack said we're good.
On what? Facebook?
On what? On Facebook? On Facebook, Chris, or the actual site? I'm waiting on you, Chris.
Yeah, I just listened on Green Legion Radio and on greenlegion.com/listen.
Hold on a second here. I don't know. Tiger King.
All right.
Tiger King.
All right, man. Thanks.
He said.
All right.
So we are on. He said on greenlegion.com/listen.
Cut us off.
You just cut us off?
No.
No, he said we were sounding good.
Still going.
Yeah, he said we were sounding awesome.
Thank God. Good fucking radio, man.
Thanks, Chris.
Jesus Christ. Ugh.
You might get a call in any second.
Who, Trent?
Ted Washington.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's
going to have nothing. I looked up nothing about Ted.
I was going to look up some stuff, but then he hit me back. So, but I know about him. I was just going to have him go over some of the quality middle of the line type things.
All right, everybody. We're sorry about this. This is really bad radio, and we're starting over. Get Tanked Happy Hour.
you gonna start over?
Atop the Northern Liberty Studios. What the fuck? This is just a pain in the ass.
Apparently you're amusing Chris Sack.
I hate this. I've been working all fucking day to try to get this video up, and it doesn't happen. It's bullshit. Here I am. Now I'm all frazzled.
You frazzled?
There's our levels.
There's
hello.
Our levels.
Oh, the levels aren't even coming up. Oh, God.
There you go.
We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
How about that?
It sounds like a plan to me.
It's, sorry, you guys. We're going to take one song, quick break here, try to put this thing back together here.
Like 6 minutes?
No, like 3 minutes. I just need a second to get our audio levels right. We'll be right back after this. All right, everybody. We are back on Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio, live atop our beautiful Northern Liberty studios. I think this is Ted Washington calling in.
Is it?
Yeah.
You give him a couple of questions.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, get to about seven, 8 minutes. Yeah.
Is this Mr. Washington?
Yeah, that's me.
What's up, Ted? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I can barely hear him.
I'm hanging it now.
Now, a lot of people don't know that Ted, he's a beast on the grill and just cooking in general. Some big dogs are, but
real fast, Ted, tell everybody out there your entire NFL career, because it was pretty historied, right? How many teams did you play for?
I think I played for six or seven. 17 years.
Yeah. Ted, your cell phone is pretty bad, bro, just so you know. We can barely hear you coming through on this feed.
I'm outside, so if I go inside, it's probably even worse.
Are you outside grilling again?
No, ain't no grilling today. I cook one good day and take a day off, and then they eat like finger foods or whatever.
now, Ted, tell everybody your position. I know your position because
you're a big dog.
Yeah, he's a big dog. He's a D lineman. But I wanted to know about your time with the Buffalo Bills and Bruce Smith.
Well, I played defensive tackle.
Yes.
Well, I ain't gonna call it defense. I played nose tackle. So I was always in the middle, of playing head up or shaded on either side. And as for Buffalo, playing with Bruce Smith was an experience. And we had our bump heads because Bruce Smith, you know, Mr. Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find another defensive lineman that can also make you cross the water to the Pro Bowl, it was kind of a little, hey, I'm the man here. I'm like, nah, bro, I'm trying to get mine just like you got yours.
right.
We were good.
Yeah. Now
How many career sacks did you have, Ted?
Career who?
Sacks.
Now, I played nose guard.
I know.
Brother, we know you were a stopper.
Yes.
There wasn't too many people that got past your big ass. We know. Don't worry.
He was a beast. He was a man amongst boys. It's like I watched him almost break somebody's back one time.
Really?
Yeah. He was a guard. I guess they tried to single block you one time with a guard. The guard came down on him. It looked like he caught him in just a chokehold. And I think I'm not going to say his name, but it was Joe Panos when you guys were playing us. You guys are playing us. I want to say 96 or 97. I think 96 or 97. And unfortunately, Barry Brooks started talking trash to Bruce Smith, and the game-winning sack was got by Bruce Smith. But yeah, I think you had to actually. Yeah, he had a tremendous game in the game. That's why I as a player. With certain guys who build on their technique and stuff, were you a real student of the game?
Yes, I learned a lot. I learned a lot of stuff from these centers. I like to go against a good center, but like you know, with my career, it was more doubles and triple teams. But when you get a good center that can, you know, give you a good go, like a Damani Dawson.
Oh God,
you learn a lot from guys like that. And so as the years got, you know, I got good with my hands, my leverage,
mm-hmm.
and that's what elevated my game. So it wasn't all about just using your size.
Right.
It's how you use your hands.
Yeah.
And getting leverage, and that's what got me where, you know.
The 17 years.
That's a pretty goddamn amazing career, Ted, let's be honest.
And it wasn't no time. I think we practiced against the Buffalo Bills one time in training camp, and all he did in training camp was did you even suit up for training camp when you came down against the Eagles? With the Bills.
That school
we was at Lehigh.
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 Yes. I don't know if I even played that game.
Well, yeah, it was kind of funny because I was like, I was looking for you, and then they was like, he's inside. He was in there just on the treadmill. He was going on the treadmill, going about his business. And I was like, man, I can't wait till I get like that.
Ted, what was your playing weight at the height of your career? 340.
When I got to Buffalo, my years in Buffalo, I played between 340 and 380.
Really?
Once you get a Pro Bowl under your year, that's when the weight starts adding on, because you know, I got comfortable, got more money, and I thought I was just kid. So, you know, like, yeah, I can put on 10, 15, 20 pounds and still be at the same level.
Hey, I'm Hollis is one of my best friends. I understand this.
Yeah. I know. I didn't get to the Pro Bowl, but I was critically acclaimed in some stuff and got a little bit of money, got real fat and happy on occasions.
On occasions.
It's brutal because as you get older, it's harder to get off. You can't wait till the last 2 weeks before training camp to try to shed, to try to make weight.
Yeah, it was hard.
Where did you wind up?
I still played at a high level after I left Buffalo, but, you know, it was still, you know, the years adds up and you have to turn it loose and let go.
Ted, Hollis tells us a funny story about when he decided to retire from the game, and that was after he went to Seattle, and he was going through their workout, and he had just put up 225 20 times.
About 20-some times.
He gets done, and they go, whoever was walking him through goes, okay, that was just the start. Now we're going to get into whatever.
He said, you forgot about the stretching and stuff and the 225. He said, okay, that's the warm-up. Now let's get into the workout. I was like, you know what? I'll be back at my hotel. I'm going back to Houston.
Send me my per diem.
Send me my per diem. Pete Carroll was there. I was like, oh, God. And another thing was Brandon Stokely and another veteran Raheem Brock. They was like, it's like he didn't treat veterans, you know, with that veteran savvy.
So Ted, tell us about when did you decide to leave the game, and who were you playing for at the end of your career?
The two worst teams in America.
Uh oh,
Oakland Raiders and Cleveland.
Oh God! Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know that's what they say. That's where players go to die.
Yeah. Right.
I got out of there before I died, because that shit, it was bad. Yeah. I mean, I think I could have reached 20 years if I would have stayed in New England, mm-hmm. because they took care of the players. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Oakland, the city and your San Francisco and all the surrounding eateries, that was great. But as for the, oh, my Lord.
Well,
coaches over there.
Let's talk about the mindset of the Oakland Raiders. Brand new stadium, brand new city, brand new attitude, and their biggest signing so far has been Nelson Aguilar.
Wow!
Ain't that a receiver? Who's that?
Yeah, receiver, yeah. Hold on a second. You just said that perfectly, Ted. Who's that? He played here for 4 years. We don't even know who the fuck he is.
Yeah, I think I was at the training camp this year, and was it 17? Number 17?
He was 13.
Number 13.
Okay. Yeah, that guy. Wow.
Hey, Ted, we appreciate you calling in, my man.
Yeah, you call in anytime, man. I'm gonna try to get with you on some. I've been watching you on Facebook and the tender meals you cook. I'm gonna have to come see you, because he was talking about putting a ham on the grill.
Well, actually, I want to.
I'm a down home country boy. I make it simple. I'm not fancy. I cook it like your grandma and them do it back in the day. No measurements. Just get it done. Feed them children and get out my kitchen. That's where I'm.
Ted, we're gonna talk before shows, and I want to hear some next time you call in. Which, again, I hope you do. We want to talk about stories that people don't know. One of the things that's great about having Hollis on the show is he relinquishes certain information that is now no longer deemed top secret, and stories from around the NFL with players are pretty pretty goddamn hysterical. So we want to talk about that next time you call in.
Well, I got plenty of those, and just give me a holler whenever you want me on. I'm here.
All right, man.
Ted, right. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Ted.
All right, anytime, guys.
All right, have all a good one.
Have a good one.
Now, you want to call in, D, or you want me to have him call in?
Who's that, Trent?
Trent, yeah.
You know what? I think what we should probably do, can you guys hang around with us for just a second? I think we should take a break.
Take a quick break.
What are we going to do here?
You want me to tell him we're going to call him?
I can't call him. He has to call
okay,
in.
Okay, so how long you want me to tell him?
4 minutes. Everybody, don't go anywhere. This is going to be fantastic. We're going to take a quick one-song break. And when we come back, Trent Cole will be calling in. We have some great stuff. Yeah, we're going to have some fun stuff to talk about with him. So do me a favor, everybody that's watching us here, don't go anywhere. Alex Donahue, yes, I'm pointing at you again. Don't give me any shit about it. I'm trying. My computer is really slow today. There's so many things that we've done here trying to implement something better in our system.
Food for the kids.
And
somebody was have quarantine type of thoughts.
You guys, we'll be back right after this with Trent Cole.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack, but that was all he missed, and he ain't coming back. He had a two-stone bar and a gin joint car. He made a stop just like
for the road, lead up, whoa.
Yeah, Dan Fink, I did get the mother of all. Emma, what's MOAB?
Who?
MOAB. Acronym.
Acronym.
The MOAB of computers. Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, you can see it over here. All right.
Money over bitches?
It is a, it's a motherfucker of a computer. The wide receiver radio show. Oh, thanks, Bren. Appreciate that, man. Bren loves the wide receiver show from last week. That was fun. Mother of all bombs. All right.
Trent plugged it in his phone.
Okay.
Yeah, so he said give him like 5 more minutes.
Oh, that's okay. We're not going anywhere,
Trent.
We're
not going anywhere.
Yeah. So 5 minutes. Trent Cole will be calling in, everybody. We're going to find out what he's on the hunt for right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about some stories. I want to talk about 2009, and I want to talk about Arizona. And that's not going to be a pleasant conversation because it's probably the closest. If you remember, Arizona played Pittsburgh
right
in that Super Bowl.
Correct.
I really thought we would have had a legit shot. Mm-hmm. Legit shot of beating Pittsburgh in that game.
Yeah.
More so than Arizona did. But, you know, Fitzgerald.
Pulled the magic out.
He torched, man.
And did you see what he did in the Super Bowl by running almost.
And where did Fitzgerald go to school?
University of Pitt.
How about that?
I know.
The Pitt guy kept us from playing Pittsburgh. Nobody ever put that two and two together.
And also, you know, he was a ball boy for the Vikings.
Yeah.
He's always be around Chris Carter and Jake Reed.
Jake Reed. All right, everybody, don't go anywhere. We're not going anywhere as well. We are going to be here the entire time. Trent Cole will be calling in less than 4 minutes. It's gonna be a blast, actually.
Yeah.
You know what? I have no topics of discussion for this evening.
Oh, you don't?
I prepared absolutely nothing.
Well, I was.
However, you know what? I do want to say something. I said that we promised not to talk about the coronavirus at all. I'm going to say this. Everybody that's still making this political, just stop. Where?
Okay, what it is?
Well,
sit down.
No, just
stay in the house.
It's just it's the problem of. People are giving Trump shit because he said he wanted to be back open by Easter. Okay. Sure. Obviously not going to happen.
Pretty much.
However, what do you want him to say? 6 months of quarantine? Do you know?
That is brutal.
Do you want him to give no light at the end of the tunnel? Again, I don't know any president, black, white, male, female, Republican, Democrat, that can do the right thing here by everybody. It's just not going to take place.
Not at all.
The one person that you can make fun of.
Who's that?
Is Cuomo.
Oh.
Because he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, a little bit.
But then again, everything that comes out of New York is pretty much a fucking idiot. So, that's all I'm going to say. Your BFF, not going to mention names, just initials.
Who's initials?
This is Alex Donahue. He keeps telling me to dance, monkey dance. I'm about to fuck you up, Alex.
What'd you call it?
You're getting lighter, bro. You get 20 pounds lighter, and I got you.
Everybody's.
Oh, Dan, I'm sorry, man.
What happened?
I was really skeptical. One of my friends died of it today.
Damn.
Sorry. Shit, Dan, I'm sorry to hear that, man. All right, hold on. We're lightening the mood.
Okay.
We're lightening the mood. So, Trent Cole.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about this while he is.
While he's
on air with us. Trent Cole was drafted in 2005.
Correct.
By the Eagles.
Yep.
Had 5 sacks.
Yes.
In his first season, which is, you know, not bad.
Yeah, he probably would have more, though.
He'll
tell you. You know, the weird thing is sometimes when you get to a professional system, they actually want you to pay attention to the defense.
And he really didn't.
No, he really didn't. And that's why later on he was able to get everything going on.
There are some things. You know what? The statistics for Trent are pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go over that with him. You guys realized in his 10-year career,
yes,
as an Eagle, he missed
only a couple of games.
5 games.
Yep.
He's Mr.
Durable. Hey, you know what? That was his rookie year. Their first run test.
Oh, hold on. This is great. Look at it. Look at Hollis laughing right now.
That first run test, he had, you know, so when Tripp first came here, he was a little smaller than the rest of the defensive ends.
Okay.
So by the time training camp came around, he had put on about 25 pounds, maybe even just 15.
Okay.
But just we have to run 16 half gassers, timed, and rest is timed.
I don't know what that is.
Half gassers go 53 yards or 52 yards and a half yards, touch the line, and come back. Now, if it was just a 1600s, it would be cool. But the bending down and touching the line, and the coaches are there making sure you touch the line, because if everybody doesn't touch the line, since we're a team, everybody goes back.
God, all that rah-rah shit?
Yeah. So it's like, so Trent had came with.
Hey, my stepdad Danny Scheidt's watching. What's up, Pop?
Trent, even though he was a little heavier, he actually still made him, but his back was killing him for like a couple of days. He'll tell you about that.
All right.
But his rookie year was pretty funny, though.
That's cool.
Because he was not a typical rookie. I felt like he had the talent right off the rip, and I think he had the right mindset.
Well, he was fast off the edge, man.
Yeah. And you know what? I never asked him how he recognized when the ball was going to snap. I was going to ask him, does he know how many times he's been outside? Because most of the times when you lose count, that means you've been outside too many times. Because I already know I was offside twice in my entire career.
All right, here we go. This is
what you got?
Nothing but problems.
What'd you do? Victoria,
I have no idea.
I'm drinking Johnny Walker Black.
Oh, God, what the hell?
Hold on 1 second. Good things. All right, mazel.
Good. Now I have it ready for
you. Got it ready? Okay.
Yeah, tell him to call.
He's calling. You know he's calling to be right.
Oh, no. Hold on. 267.
Hold on. Well, me? You want me to call him?
No, you got to tell him the number.
Hey, Trent. Trent, you supposed to call the 267 number I gave you. The 267 now. Yeah, the 267 now.
915-2664.
2664. Okay.
All right, everybody. Trent Cole's calling in right now.
My bad, that was Trent calling.
That's great.
Hold on, hold on a second. Let me see.
Yeah, no, we got it.
You got it? He coming in?
He's
coming
in? He will. Anyway.
I'm sending it to him again.
267.
267.
915.
91.
2664. Don't go Bearcat on him, Alex.
We played against him.
All right, let's.
He should be calling.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Hopefully, there he is.
There he goes.
All right.
I'm back.
Trent Cole, how are you, sir?
Well, pretty good.
See, his phone's so much better than Ted's.
Your phone's a lot clearer and louder than Ted Washington's was. Well, you know, Ted's in North Carolina, though.
Yeah.
It's not a piece.
Everybody live on air with us right now, 10-year Eagles vet, 12-year NFL vet, Trent Cole, defensive end, stud.
Yep.
Trent, this is Quimby. You and I have never met, although we ran in the same circles for a very long time. I owned the Avalon website when we were back in the heyday.
Oh, okay. I know you are.
The only thing I hated about you is I lost every hot chick.
Oh man, come on, man.
you could be the ugliest
person in the world and you can go there and get a
Wow.
Why do you think Avalon was as great as it was? Trent, our good friend Jeff Perlman said, ask him about your asshole neighbors in Avalon across the street that were using lasers at 3 a.m. all the time.
Oh. He was like, actually, you know what? I really had no problem about it because it was like, you know, I used to be at that time, and they came down here to have a good time, and they paid for it, and they should be able to have a good time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so I'm all for them, put it that way.
It was cool. You know what? I remember you at Jack's on Thursday nights so many times. And I was running the Green Legion at the time, still running it. I never came up to you because I didn't want to be that asshole that was like, oh, my God, hey, Tred Cole, I love your caramel eyes, sir. Can you please sign my shirt? Be honest, huge fan of you. Huge fan of your career. I have a couple questions for you. Hollis has questions for you. Our audience has a couple questions for you. My first question for you is, how the fuck did you do it? 10 years with the Philadelphia Eagles, and you missed 5 games. 5.
Well, put this way, it was more of a, you know, I had some great leaders in front of me. And when I came in there, and they were very big help to my career, you know, and a lot of other people's career, and that's what built me. And also, I was one of the type of players that, you know, if I was on your team, you knew I was going to be in no matter what. There was no such thing as the wrong side of the street. I was going to be there, and we were going to go in together, and we were going to come out together. And that's one thing. You was going to get everything you wanted, everything you need to get out of me, you was going to get it.
And no doubt that took place. Oh, Jeff Perlman again. I think Darwin Walker called him at 4 a.m. from our house last summer, too.
Did he walk through that to you, man?
Oh, man.
There's a lot of ties in right now, Trent. Yeah, there's a lot of ties. Yes.
Did D-Walk do that to you, man?
Oh, man.
I just asked that. It was kind of rhetorical because I kind of know he did, because he's the kind of, you know how D-Walk is.
Oh, I know. He low key. He tried to be low key.
He tries.
He tried to be low key, but he's all good.
Yeah. So, all right. Obviously, you're nicknamed the Hunter. I have a little bit of I can relate a little bit. My father was state champion Pennsylvania 55 and 56 archery.
So it's in your blood. It's in your blood. Yeah. It's in your blood.
And
it's in your blood.
We competed in the Keystone Federation of archery. Establishments for years, and then I got shipped off to military academy, and all that shit went from bow and arrow to rifle and pistol.
Yep.
But I have a really important question.
Shoot him.
And you can tell I'm loading this one up. All right.
Oh God, here we go.
So, hey, I know. Go ahead. It's all right. Don't be scared, ass. Go ahead. I'm somewhat an open book.
I determined a long time ago that instead of hunting, I like to fish. And the reason I like to fish, and it's deep sea. It's all, offshore, blue water. And I also determined that I'd rather water ski than snow ski. And it's simply because I don't like being fucking cold. All right?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's all your choice, man. You know, cold is uncomfortable, it all depends on the goal. That's all.
So, in August of this year, I finally convinced Big Dog over here.
Oh, dear Lord.
To take.
Oh,
no.
Trust me, Trent. This is an ongoing saga, all right? I fish all the time. Not all the time, but as much as I possibly can.
All the time.
All right, which is, generally all the time. Have you ever heard of Tropic Star Lodge in Panama?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, I've heard of that.
We're on our fifth visit down there. In 3 years, so that gives you an idea about
all the time.
Fifth visit in 3 years.
I have a problem.
Ooh, okay.
So here we go. Let's get to it. All right, I've been trying to convince Tank over here to come on a fishing trip. All right, first of all, he came down to Costa Rica to visit me when I lived down there for 3 months, and I have an incredible photo of Tank. And about a 2-foot lizard
It was a Komodo dragon.
In a stare down competition.
It was a Komodo, one of those Komodo dragon thingies.
In a stare down contest where I think Hollis lost, be honest with you. But
he had claws.
He was just smart.
So I've been trying to get him on a boat for a while. And it finally.
He's going to need some beer first. Get him some beer, man. I already know where you're going at with this. Get him some beer. That's all.
It finally took us or me making a reservation to Vanuatu. Vanuatu is about 2.5 hours by plane west of Fiji.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
And I said
That's
to
a
Hollis,
long way.
I said, Hollis, yo, you want to go? I'm like, we're going to be in Fiji for 4 nights beforehand. He goes, fuck yeah.
Damn Skippy.
So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting taking the big dog halfway around the world to fish for big, big granders, blue marlin.
Yep.
Which are 2 miles offshore. 2 miles offshore.
Oh, God.
But there is a plethora of inshore fish. Giant trevally that get 100 pounds. Coral trout, red bass, jobbies, green jobbers.
One of the reasons why I accepted the trip, because my youngest daughter, she's been deep sea fishing since she was 10. And she's been driving the boats, too, sometime. So I really can't let her outdo dear old dad.
Uh-oh.
Why are you speaking about
this?
Oh,
wait, real fast. Go ahead. Real fast.
Go ahead.
A question from one of our listeners.
Okay.
Were you pissed off when Goodell outlawed his awesome hunter sack dance?
Nah, he never outlawed that. I created that. I seen a couple of people try to bite off of that, but I created that.
No, but they said they ain't outlawing.
I just made sure that I never put a name on it. That's all I'm gonna say. I never put a name on it.
But then, did you make sure your knee didn't touch the ground? That's why they was trying to outlaw it, because they was trying to say if you went to the ground on your dance, yeah. That was the main thing.
Care. I was like, nah, I didn't even care. I just like, I'm still going to do it.
Attaboy.
Now Trent won't tell you this, but when he first got there, you remember when you got that damn bow and arrow set, and I asked what the hell you was going to hunt? And we got that stadium. He's talking about he was going to hunt bears.
Nice.
I was like, dear Lord.
Actually, I was. I know you were. Bear hunting my first year. I was going to Canada to hunt bears.
I know you were. Yeah, now I was. That's why I was like, oh, man, we got us a crazy one.
All right. You know what? I dig Trent because I know he's traveled all over to hunt. Trent, two questions. What's your favorite thing to hunt for? And what was your favorite hunting adventure that you went on?
I might have to say this. I'll put it this way. I can answer my favorite thing to hunt would be whitetails, hunting whitetail deer.
Really? But all right. You don't have to go very far. 18 acres in New Jersey, you're good to go.
and the thing is, reason why I love hunting whitetail is like it's the top of the animal kingdom. I mean, they can survive in any kind of weather. I mean, they're the animal that's going to survive out of any other animal. It's going to be the whitetail, and they know how to survive. And they're very strong animals, and you know I have a lot of respect for them, and that's why I respect the whitetail, and that's why it's my favorite animal to pursue. But as far as adventure, guys, I mean, I've been on a lot of adventures, and they all had something to them. I mean, I could tell you plenty of stories from wolves up in Canada when I was bear hunting.
To being
up in Canada where I'm flying in by plane and there's no other way out. But I have to say, like I said, I mean, I've been on a lot of adventures and I loved every one of them, and I couldn't tell you which was my best because I try to make every one of my adventures the best because, you know, you don't know what tomorrow brings. So, you know, every year I try to find something different or new to do.
Sean Henderson asked, is his favorite white tail as in white tail?
Way to go, Sean.
Hold on a second. I think that's all our favorite pursuit.
Now, Trent, you got to
remember. You know how I like my coffee.
I do, but it's like.
Trent likes his coffee black, baby.
Yeah, but it's like when you made this call, you had to know everybody was quarantined, so there's a lot of hand raising and porting hubbing going on. So,
Trent, my biggest adventure recently is diving into the depths of Pornhub, which, by the way, I didn't even know this shit existed.
Did they make that free?
I don't care.
Yes, it is free. It's free, yeah.
I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something similar. I did take a trip to Alaska for king salmon, halibut, and you know, whatever else we could catch. Yeah. And you were just talking about, you know, taking a plane in, somewhere to.
And on the way out is a plane?
Well, no. Well, you haven't lived until you've flown in an aluminum float plane.
Jump plane.
And, yeah, I've lived in.
And watched a bush pilot land this thing with less than a football field of straight river to get you to a point, Chinook salmon, silver salmon.
We don't have to do that, do we?
No, we don't have to do that. Don't worry, baby.
Okay. It's like, boy, he's about to scare.
But the greatest fishing adventure that I have ever been on was taking a float plane out of Anchorage into the remote bush for a silver salmon run, where your guide has a 50 caliber pistol in his pocket to put down a grizzly or a big brown.
Only 50 caliber?
Well, that's about as big as you're going to get in a pistol without turning it into a land cannon.
But I got a question for you.
What's up?
Did you count any bears? Did you have any?
No. Nope.
You have any situations? Nope. Bad situations?
Nope, none at all. And thankfully, we didn't have any. The only bears we saw during our entire Alaska trip, which was 10 days, a bear and two cubs, crossing the road. That was it.
Okay. Now I have to let you guys know that the women are making sport of you guys. They say you guys love to land in bush.
I'm good. I'm good with that.
Some of the ladies.
Trent, you're good with me on that?
I'm going to raise my hand to that.
And three or four of the ladies online, they would like to let you. Three or four of the ladies online said you guys know that Pornhub is currently free.
Why do you think I'm on there?
No, they just want to let you guys know that they know that.
Oh, we're good.
So I heard from a friend. So point number
three. Trent, all right, I got some football questions
for
you. Let's get into
Can you get the one sentimental moment out of the way, please? Because I don't know if he's going to he don't have to tell the story, but it's like
he's uncomfortable right now, Trent. Can you see that?
Because it was kind of the one moment where Trent knew I gave a fuck about him, basically. I didn't want to have to tell it, but it was just a situation where they were trying to berate him a little bit and take advantage of it because he was a rookie. He'll tell you the story because I kind of don't remember some of it because I was so pissed that they were doing it to him, and I saw red that they had to pull me away from the situation.
All right, Trent, you want to talk about this?
And you and Indy Kalu too. Yeah. Indy Kalu was jumping away. You know what I'm saying? I think it was Indy Kalu and it was a freak. Freak, it was you, Indy Kalu, and Freak that helped me out on that situation. Y'all literally, I think it was Freak or Indy Kalu. Somebody jumped at the coach.
That was me. Hold on.
All right, both of you, slow down.
Go ahead. That was actually me.
All right. Build the situation. What was going on? What took place? And we won't say Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I don't know what it was. Is I don't want to name no name of coaches or anything. Okay, but I was. Literally, they were because I was a rookie, and he was thinking he can just. I mean, he was kind of crazy. It was like he was trying to like I don't know if he had some problems going at home or something or what. But, I mean, I guess it's, that was his attitude, I guess. I mean, he was just, I don't know. I was confused, man. I'm like, hold on here. This ain't
so. So you're like a rookie and coaches are starting to haze you, I guess?
No,
it was one or two of them, and I was just like, hold on here. And then it just one day everybody got fed up with it. I seen it in everybody's eyes. I seen Hollis. I could tell. I could tell. I was like, oh, gosh. I was like, something's going, it's just going to take one hot moment. And it did. It was just one hot day. And I mean, it blew up, dude. This boys, I mean, they came out like superheroes, man. I ain't like you. They came out, they was just so fed up. They got like superheroes, Hollis, Freak, and you clue. Somebody grabbed me. You know what I'm saying? Somebody grabbed me. I know somebody
was
grabbed
training
me.
Camp?
And the one guy went after the coach. Went straight after the coach.
It was
like, oh God.
It was doing a practice. So what ended up happening was it's like one of the core special teams guys was jacking around with him, but he attacked Trent like and it was a personal attack. It wasn't a get your ass back in practice attack. It was a personal
Did you bang
attack.
Out his wife, Trent?
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't do nothing.
I'm sorry, man. I'm just asking.
But it was just a personal attack. And he's like, you don't treat people like that.
Right.
It's like we're on the same team. We're on the same team. We're all out for the same goal. I was like, and if you want to be truthful, your guy started it. It's like Trent was out there doing a service for them. He was on the service team, and I got pissed because it's like you got our rookies out here. He's a defensive lineman. You got our rookies out here doing this stuff, and then your guy's dicking around,
yep.
and then so my guy kind of messed with him a little bit.
Okay,
but then you go and you try to berate and belittle our guy in front of everybody. That doesn't fly. It's not cool at all by any stretch of the means. It's not how you define a teammate. It's not how you are as a coach. So.
Now you understand why I lasted 10 years with the Eagles or 12 years in the league. And I left out on my own. Because I got guys like this, like Hollis Thomas. That's where I got all my values from. Freak, Hollis Thomas, Any Kalu, you know what I'm saying, Jerome McDougal. I go down the line. That's what the NFL needed. We need that from day one. They still need it to the day, I think. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I'm at where I'm at. It's because I told you, right? Because them guys, that's how they believe it. We didn't – I mean, like Hollis took care of us. I mean, he took care of all the rookies. Like, when we go out, Hollis make sure that he got a limo. He says, nah. He says, you don't have to pay for nothing. No, we got this.
Papa Hollis. Yeah, what up?
Well, no, you just
he took care of the rookies, man. Yeah. I'm not lying. He did. He took care of us, dude. Like, he took flat-out care of us.
That's awesome.
You have to show the guys how to treat the next generation coming in.
I hear you.
That's all.
All right, Trent, football, real quick.
Yeah.
So, 2009, all right, Pro Bowl year for you, you're second, 12 and a half sacks. You guys eke in to the playoffs by destroying the Cowboys in the last game.
Yep.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating Chicago, which shouldn't have fucking happened.
Yep.
And there was another game I can't remember that had to take place just to get the sixth seed.
I was playing with the Carolina.
I had 500 people go out to that NFC Championship game in Arizona.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
I know, man.
Oh my God!
I am sorry for bringing
about that game to this day.
I just want your take on it because I still don't fucking understand what happened there. I don't understand. I relive that game in my mind. Almost annually, and I still go, what the hell happened?
I have a picture framed from that game.
Mm.
Out of the newspaper.
Were you one of the captains?
Out of the newspaper.
Were you one of the captains?
I got a picture. I can't even remember, man. I was so hot. I can't even remember that game. I can't remember, like, what the small things, because I was so hot about that game. Mm. I was like... I was so confused about that game. I was so confused. We prepared for that game. We knew what threat we had to take out. Larry Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald, exactly.
There was no problem taking him out. All you had to do was just, well, they sent me back to go knock him off course, and that was it. Just knock him off course, and that was it. It was pretty simple. So, you know, when we got there, you know what they did? We went there, and, you know, warm-ups. We got warm-ups. We go back in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We come out.
They watered the field down.
What?
They watered the field down.
Well, doesn't that – wait, hold on. Does that create a distinct advantage?
Damn right.
Yeah. Hold on. Dude, they watered the field down. You know how they can roll, you know, with that turf they got. They can roll it outside.
Right.
And let it get sun.
Yeah.
So when it came in, they watered the field. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
But doesn't – the Cardinals
receiver,
still have to play on it too.
Yeah, because you got to remember, if a receiver comes at you and he makes a move,
you're done.
He's going to go wherever he wants to go. You're not going to.
Oh,
are
you serious?
What help Trent out to help you out? So basically, they waited till the Eagles came out and warmed up and picked the shoes that they were going to wear, then watered the field down.
No,
so when you come out there, you're gliding around like you're on an ice skate rink.
Are you serious?
Yeah. What's up, Kutcher?
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I'm heads up. I'm already alerted already. Like, okay, here?
That's bullshit. Yeah, like, is that even allowed?
I have no clue, but they did it. I mean, I was with.
Are you serious?
So the thing is like, and when the game was going on, I'm like, I ain't gonna lie to you. It was we were the strongest team out there. We were the best team. I still to this day, I don't care. We still by far was the best team out there. Anybody can argue with me. We were the best team out there. Okay, it's just, you know what I'm saying, we didn't win the game, but I don't care what everybody says. We were the best team out there, and I just I can say a lot of things. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, I'm gonna hold back because I'm just gonna keep it.
Yeah, you don't
keep it.
Hey, save that for the next time you call in.
Save the flavor.
Keep it simple, but. Like I said, I was gonna say this. I'm confused. I'm very confused. I was like very, very confused, and that's all I'm gonna leave it. We should never lost that game.
I got one question about the game. About after the game. Yeah. About you didn't know. I've been knowing Donovan since he was a rookie, and so for him to get up after that was one of the game. He got up after the game and said when he left the field that they were ahead. How much does that piss you off?
What's that?
That was a game that Donovan said when I left the field we was ahead.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I was like,
this predates you, Trent, because I could if Trout was but Trout was on the team with me when we lost to the Green Bay Packers 6-3 with Brett Favre. You notice how I'm talking loud with Brett Favre.
Yeah.
To three.
You throw the ball or you.
No, 6-3. So it's like when he said that, I think that's what that probably. I was just wondering how a lot of guys felt because that's kind of pointing the finger at the defense,
right?
Not kind of. That was strictly pointing the finger at the defense. It's like you guys did a. I felt like you guys did a bang up job of holding them in the game, and it's I don't know, man. It's like you go back, you look at some of them games, man.
And let me say, this is how it is, man. Like. We do. I mean, when you got a game that close like that, you got a game close. Definitely, it was a defensive game. You know what I'm saying? It was definitely a defensive game. But at the end of the day,
the Arizona game.
You know what I'm saying? We only could do so much.
It was 31-27 or something, wasn't it?
Well, it was. What was? It ended up being that, but early on, it was a defensive game. Yeah. It was a bit pretty much that. A lot of the score. Go ahead, Trent.
Yeah, Hoss, we only could do so much as a defense. We do our part, right? You know what I'm saying? And every other unit's got to do their part. You know, and. That's where it comes down to, you know what I'm saying? And we work off this. Everybody knows how it works. If one unit is down, well, the other unit has to take and fill that void.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying, be the hero, you know, and that's just the way it works. But like I said, that day, you know what I'm saying, there should have been no setting that. That was a fight. That was a battle. And all we could say is that we went out there and played a hard towel.
Nobody faults anybody there. It was surreal. It was surreal for
it was a battle, a great battle.
No, it just something was wrong.
Right, and this is what I will say. I think with him going and saying that, I think he fucked up y'all for the next 3 or 4 years because. At that point, you guys had been a team, and no matter whether it was the offense that pulled y'all through or the defense that held the team to nothing and pulled us through, it's like you never had anybody coming out talking like that, talking about, well, when I left the field, we were ahead. Come on, man. We're a team.
You can't talk like that. Yeah. We're a team. Like I said, at the end of the day,
You know what I'm saying? If you're only good as the guy next to you, you know what I'm saying? And that's how it works. And if you,
Donovan was key on you know, veteran moves.
I'm only to put Trent in that vicarious position.
Hey, Trent, we appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you, and big fan over here.
That's my dog.
Yeah, big fan.
Hold on. And I never told you this, but I was, even though when I left that next year, I was still watching you. I was extremely proud of the way you took all the lessons that all the guys around you gave you, and became a man. Just not the man, not the man that was your own man. You became that guy that they had to cut for. And I, dude, it was like I was so happy for you, because it's kind of like ice skating uphill when you're talking to some cats. But I was so happy that you got it, and it was like, and I appreciate you now. It's not that it means anything, but I was proud of the way you handled your business, man.
Yep, and it's just like, it's all, and like I said, remember how it is, it's all who's your leader, you know what I'm saying? It's all about who the people in front of you, the guys around you, you know what I'm saying? And when you have a good group of guys, and like I said, I tell you how I was listening, no matter what, it's just because of my morals, you know what I'm saying? I was always listening, and I always learned from everybody. Like, so if you got told me, that stuck with me. So, you know what I'm saying, toward any guys out there in football or any high school team, I mean, any sports in general, you know, remember, man, what you do, you know what I'm saying, people are watching, guys around you are watching, and, you know, you got to make sure you set a great example. And like I said, I could tell you this, look at my life and look what I do. I try to put a little bit of what I do out there just to be an example for people on social media, and everybody knows where I came from and what I went through when I had to just get to this point. But it all came from, you know, where it started at, you know, then when I first really hit real life, when I got to the league, I had an actual job. And I had people around me to learn from, and had great examples around me, you know what I'm saying, that taught me, that I took forward to be successful in the position I am now. So I mean, appreciate you, Hollis.
No problem, man. Thanks.
Hey, I'm just chaperoning the date with Trent Cole and Hollis Thomas tonight.
That's my guy.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's
a reunion every time. It's a reunion every time I see before.
Hey, Trent, I have an offer for you.
Yes.
You want to do some deep sea fishing? It's on me.
Where at?
Fiji.
Fiji.
So it'll be both our first time.
Ooh, that's gonna be hard right now, because you know I got a little one on the way, so I got a little man on the way, so I.
We'll figure out where the destination is and what we're going for. But you know, it could be something as simple as.
Keep your mind, man. You got my number. Y'all got my number.
Yeah. Now, when does little man do?
August. I say with August 1st.
He can't go.
Yeah, he can't go to
Vanuatu. I was going to say you go to Fiji, because that's what we.
We'll get something else. I have a lot of contacts down in Avalon and all the way down to Cape May. We'll get on a big boat and go out for tuna or marlin offshore.
Well, if you're down in Avalon, in the summer, shoot me a text when you're down there.
All right. And a special shot from Joyce to you, said you just want him to get down in that thick bush, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I want him to get in that thick bush. Trent, we appreciate you, brother. A big fan, and thank you for everything, all the memories you gave us as a Philadelphia Eagle, and thank you for being the man you are.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Trent, man. Have a good one, man.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Yep, we'll do.
All right, everybody, that was a long segment. Let's take a quick break.
Sorry about that long segment.
No, that's fantastic. That's the first time I ever heard that about 2009 in that NFC Championship game. Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, a lot of the people on social media was saying the same thing, because I think they were at the game, and then they were talking about the San Francisco game was when Steve Young was clearly down on a touchdown run.
Well, I don't know. What we're gonna do right now, though, is we are going to take a break. One song break, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We'll be back right after this on Green Legion Radio. Get Tanked Happy Hour. Yeah. Yeah, keep going.
Welcome back to Get Tank Happy Hour. I'm Tank. That's Quimby. And Sean wants to tell you that, Quimby, this is a better view. He's on mine.
What's that?
Sean Henderson.
Oh, good. Hey, whatever we have to do to shut him up, I'm good.
Yes, it is Johnny Gill.
Johnny Gill, former member of?
New Edition.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And also a duet with who?
Ooh.
Stacey Lattersall.
I did not know that.
You didn't?
Really? I still don't even know who Stacey Lattersall is.
It was a pretty good song. They had like One Hit Wonders.
Oh, really?
She was a church singer, you know.
Gotcha. All right, man. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Great guests. Actually, 29 years. Well, hold on a second. Excuse me. I take that back. 43 years worth of.
Oh, yeah, with me.
43 years worth of NFL experience.
Yes.
On Green Legion Radio, Get Tanked Happy Hour tonight.
Yes. Awesome.
43 years of NFL experience on Get Tanked Happy Hour tonight.
You know what I meant to, and it slipped my mind to ask Ted, was about Marv Levy, because I loved him as a coach.
Marv Levy was a stud.
You know what made me love him as a coach?
Thanks, Larry Hoops.
He did his one interview with me one time, and he was like, we were talking about a team that had tremendous like backups and stuff. He's like, depth is great until you have to use it.
Yeah. Captain Demps, what?
All right. Captain.
Sorry, you tuned in late. We had 17-year NFL vet Ted Washington on earlier. We had 12-year NFL vet Trent Cole. And we have 15-year NFL vet Hollis Thomas.
Abracadabra.
If I'm 44 years.
Is that what it is?
12, 17, 44 years.
Yeah, there you go.
And I will be signing up for a remedial math course this week.
That's what Joyce said. Common core math, please. Common core math, please.
Joyce, you know what? I can't wait till your ass comes in on the show, Joyce, because I'm getting tired of it.
I've been waiting on her. We're going to get her in here.
Do we have anything sports to talk about?
Nothing really sports.
Oh, no, you know what?
What happened
sports-wise? We do. In the discussion that Trump had with the commissioners of all the major sports,
right.
It does appear as though the NFL season will be on schedule.
Right.
Everybody else is fucked.
Well, yeah, you know what the thing is I think the other three sports, baseball, basketball, and hockey, they're going to be fighting for who comes back first.
Well, here's the deal. All right, so again, and we touched on this, and this is a great topic to discuss before we call it quits. So, again, on the revenue scale,
right?
Ticket sales,
right?
Literally, NFL is different because there's only 10 home games.
Right. 8 home games.
10.
It's 10?
Preseason.
Oh, preseason.
You have to pay for it. Same amount.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. If you're a season ticket holder, you're paying for all 10 seats.
As a player, I don't
know. Yeah, I got you. But so each seat in the NFL is kind of valuable. Mm-hmm. But example, again, Miami Marlins. Here's a team who has absolutely zero fan base. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. Zero fan base whatsoever. There's nobody in the stadium. Yeah. Yet that team is profitable based on collective advertising revenue.
Okay.
All right. When they say collective bargaining agreement, in case you don't know what that means, it is Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, National Basketball Association, and National Football League. All
Sean just chimed in. He says, no baseball, no hockey, no sack.
No sack.
He said, I'll be the official PGA correspondent.
Well,
continue.
Every single the revenue, NFL football.
Right.
Example.
Right.
All right. $3 billion a year plus.
Yeah, plus, yeah.
In collective advertising revenue.
Yeah, plus, yeah.
Which means divide that by 32 teams. Mm-hmm. Each one gets something like $250 million. Yeah. No, $3 billion was Bud Light alone.
Yeah. Okay? I was about to say, because
each football team in the beginning of the year, right? Gets a check for $265 million.
It may be more.
Here you go.
It may be more.
Hi, you own an NFL football franchise? Here's $265 million.
But you know who almost...
Which is why the league gets away with anything it wants because the owners do not care.
Right.
You have a team like the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Well,
who are the most awful run franchise, probably close to ever. All right,
between them and what the Raiders used to be.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is,
and Cleveland.
It doesn't matter because the owner gets a fucking check for $265 million in the beginning of the year, and okay, if you make sure your operating costs for the entire year are under $265 million, guess what? You made money.
Well,
yay!
Well, what I was going to tell you is,
let me get through this.
Ahead.
So, there's absolutely no particular reason why we can't have games without fans, and the crazy part about that is, let's assume that you want to watch a Phillies game,
right?
In June.
Yep.
And you aren't able to go to the stadium. Everybody and their fucking brother is going to watch it on television.
Damn, Skippy.
So your ratings are through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually upcharge what you would normally get in the collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you would normally... You can upcharge paid advertising revenue.
Correct.
Period. So... Let's get this shit going. Let's get this shit going. Who cares? Who cares if you don't have any fans? Oh, my God, we have to have fans. No, you don't. The Miami Marlins are an example of everything that you need to know revenue-wise about a professional sports franchise.
Yeah.
They might have 5,000 people, if they're lucky, if they're lucky, if they are lucky at every game, do you know when they have the most fans?
When they play us.
When the Phillies are playing and every goddamn transplant
yep.
goes to that game. That's it. That's when they have more stand or more people in the stands. So, hey, get this shit figured out. I don't need to be at a sporting event to watch it.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's the thing is we've
and
been,
what are you gonna, well,
we've
hold
been
on.
Quarantined
well,
so real, long.
Yeah,
ahead,
but here we go. And so long. It's yeah. been less than 3 weeks.
It's
but,
still long.
I know. But here you go. All right, do you want to close down the season?
No.
At the very least, play with empty stadiums.
Yeah.
I get it. Not fun. There's no
you still
crack
get your,
of the bat
you still get
and a
your
ball
check.
Going, huh?
You still get your check.
Yeah. Everybody still gets their check. So, I don't know. Get this shit figured out. As far as the Green Legion goes,
yep.
You know what? I'm trying not to be concerned. I don't want to be concerned. I get that it's going to impact our revenue this year, but I think by then people are going to be ready to go. So I'm going to pretend that this shit doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But for the rest of the sports,
yeah,
let's just start watching them.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what? I'll tell you this. Here you go. You ready? Here is me being full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me hockey will start next month, I will watch.
You want to know why? I watched some kids play jacks for nickels on closed circuit.
Oh, and the best part, now, it's hysterical. Your companies like FanDuel and DraftKings, who have no revenue whatsoever coming in after building up to this monstrosity that they are.
Yeah.
Don't worry. The FanDuel Casino is open. You can play roulette. You can play craps. And it has absolutely nothing to do with luck of the draw. It's all about percentages.
Tina says that they could pipe in crowd noise through Zoom.
Oh, there you go. Pipe in crowd noise. Like a goddamn, like a sitcom.
Exactly. And then
Two and a Half Men, Big Bang Theory. Yay!
All right. And they said, Joyce says that they need to hurry up and get sports back because Skip and Shannon have absolutely nothing to fight about.
That's great.
You know what?
Hold on. Who said that, Joyce?
Joyce, yeah, she said.
Joyce says, we need sports back because Skip and Shannon have nothing to argue about right
nothing
now.
To dispute.
That's
nothing
great.
To dispute. But well, if you look at, because I've been looking at ESPN and they keep going back to the seniors.
Oh, God, Jeff Pearlman. You could gamble on NBA 2K games right now.
You can. Yeah, they played.
Wow.
But it's kind of hard to
Chris,
pick.
Chris, what's up?
It's kind of hard to pick the guys who are going to win on the NBA 2K games because you get the higher seeds and then the higher seeds. Like Kevin Durant lost to a 16 seed. He was number. Kevin Durant was the one seed. He lost to a 16 seed.
Damien, you're right. I have been drinking too much. I'm ready to watch hockey.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said that actually. I was waiting on Chris Sack to chime in, but he didn't say anything. He was too busy arguing with Sean.
Shocker.
Yeah, he said.
Thank God Diaz isn't on right now.
I know. He said, "Oh, so you love Sack? Weird." Wow, that was mean, man.
Yeah.
Look, Chris, well, see, Sack told after I told you what Sean said. Chris Sack says there's always room for the Sack. And he called him dumbass. He called Sean. Your joke wasn't that good.
I introduced those two, not intentionally, but in Chicago in 2008. Can't be happier about being the conduit for those two.
Well, you know, given what you just said, I'd like to see those two in person together just to see what.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see when the funk
hits
the fan.
Sean was going to come in, but his wife started giving him shit. But
Sack
Diaz is going to start watching hockey too.
So apparently Sean wears Sassoons.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I see his wife is wearing the Dockers and the Levi's.
Nice. So, yeah, get the shit started. Yeah. Get the, you know, I Hey, as long as every player
has been tested
and is ready to go, isolate them in a goddamn fucking field in Clearwater Beach or Arizona and start playing these goddamn games. Let's get it going.
Big time. We need something to watch on TV besides murder mysteries.
Dude, I'm out of my mind, bored right now. Sharon Pahutsky, where were you last night?
Thanks, good Sharon.
Yeah. Diaz is probably in the process of curing COVID-19.
Actually, somebody just chimed in that Sean is probably wearing Jordache.
Sean is probably wearing Jordache right now. That's awesome. Oh, you want to hear a great story, and then we're going to call this a quick story. Here we go. This Jordache, all right, not so much, but it is 1996.
Sergio Valente?
Sergio Valente. No, Zeke Havarici. Okay, here we go. You guys want a great story? This is hysterical. All right, my sister, her husband, my two nephews, John and Justin. Justin, you guys know, is been kind of pivotal on social media lately. Great kid. They moved from Maryland to New Mexico. Ken got stationed at an intelligence agency over there.
Okay.
I'll tell you more about my family and the intelligence agency, besides the fact that my sister was a Russian interrogator for her 12 years in the Army before she was honorably discharged with ovarian cancer.
Note to self, don't bother yourself.
So they asked me to help get them moved from Maryland to New Mexico. Horses, you know, it was a process.
Right.
Okay. Now, my brother-in-law, Ken Miller, who was the director of security for the Department of Agriculture for 20 years, recently retired, guy that was responsible for every plant, animal, vegetable going in and out of the United States, kind of a big deal.
Okay.
Office in the Pentagon, you know, kind of a stud.
Kind of a big deal, yeah.
All right. So he, his parents
right.
lived in Kansas. It was part of the way over.
Right.
Okay. The babysitter, Kathy, I won't say her last name.
Okay.
All right. Babysitter Kathy and I were the only two, like, who were in that age.
Yeah, age range.
Where.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Oh, my God. You know, we got to get a drink. You know, something. So we had, they did it small, and we got to Kansas on day three. All right. We get to Kansas, and Mission Impossible, the first one.
Right.
Comes out.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
All right. I say to these guys, all right, look, you know, can we take a day? Because Kathy and I want to go see the movie. And we borrow Ken's parents' Cadillac, right, to go to a movie theater to watch Mission Impossible. It's not a date, but it's might have been. So we go watch the movie. It was awesome. We're away from the kids. Mm-hmm. We're away from my sister and my brother-in-law. We get out of the movie. I'm like, do you want to go back now? She's like, no. I'm like, all right, let's find a place. So we're walking out of the parking lot of the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked some random fucking redneck.
Oh, God.
Hey, where can we go right now for a drink? Oh, well, just go down the road here about 2 miles, and you're going to see a sign. It's called the Giggling Cactus. I'm not embellishing on how this was said. Hey, you go down this road about 2 miles, and on the right, you're going to see the Giggling Cactus. Okay, so we go down, right? Oh, my God. I am in my Z Cavaricci's.
Oh, God.
She's from New York.
Mm-hmm.
We walk into this place, and it was like 48 hours when Eddie Murphy walked in. And you heard the
music stopped.
Right?
So you guys went to a
We
black?
Sat down. No, we sat down, right? And I ordered a honey wheat. I think that was the beer at the time. It was the crappy.
Oh, yeah, honey wheat.
Honey wheat.
Yeah.
Remember that?
It was delicious.
Right? Very delicious.
Yes.
And Kathy and I kind of sat by the door just for shits and giggles. And I look over, and there is literally this renegade redneck crew. And they kept looking over like this.
The people can't see you. Hold on.
Right? No, it's okay.
Okay.
They were looking at me with fire in their eyes.
Okay. With fire and brimstone.
You don't belong. Hello, sir. You don't belong.
Yes.
Right? The waitress comes over and says, I'm really sorry to say this, but I suggest you guys leave. I suggest you guys leave. Right?
You guys left, right?
Get out, right?
You guys left, right?
We left. And as we're pulling away in the Cadillac, that fucking crew came out.
Oh, God.
Kidding me? So much for white privilege, everybody.
Well, to what you were saying, actually a couple of people thought that you were about to tell us about the first time you were deflowered. And I threw up in my mouth a little bit. I didn't really want to hear it, you know.
But I still remember the name of...
Yeah,
we're not.
You don't have to say it. You don't have to say anything.
Alex Donahue, did they ask if you skipped leg day? I love that story. That's the story we're going to tell on the next show.
Yes.
You got anything you want to get off your chest, big dog?
No, dude. It's like we stay in the house. Pretty much stay in the house. No matter what you think, this is, be safe. And just be here. Be safe and just stay in the house and take care of yourself, man. I'd hate to see somebody that we know gone.
Well, we just found out a friend of Dan Fink's, and Dan.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
You know, condolences that you just lost a friend due to COVID-19. That sucks.
Yeah.
And that actually puts things into perspective.
Yeah.
When you finally know somebody who. Yeah. Has it or
yeah, but the one thing that I really want to get off my chest is that it's like I've seen some of the most healthy people known to man get taken down by this,
right?
And that's what I'm trying to get out there. So no matter what you think or what conspiracy you believe, stay safe. It's because we love y'all and we need you around.
And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't buying into it in the beginning.
Yeah, and I'm mad if you buy into it.
I am now.
Okay,
and you know what? The more you stay away. Yeah. The more you stay home, the faster this shit goes away.
Yeah. The basic thing I have to tell people is it's like a stray bullet. It has no name.
Right.
Just stay at home.
Just stay at home, man.
It's not worth it. Just like we love you guys. This has been Get Tank Happy Hour.
Yeah.
I'm Tank. That's Quimby.
Tank.
Yes.
It's always a pleasure, my friend.
It's always a pleasure, my buddy. You know, we'll be back Wednesday.
We will be back Wednesday, hopefully with video on Do you like how those lights shine on the keyboard over there? Look at that. Ready?
You didn't do that.
Oh, it came that way.
It came. Oh wow.
Oh, that's the Moeb. That's the Moeb.
Well, I wouldn't tell you that my Mac, the keys light up already. So
anyway, I hate him. Everybody, we appreciate you tuning in to Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio. We will be back on Wednesday. Be safe, everybody. Be healthy.